My name is Taya Arboleda, and I have to say that I'm very honored to be here today for many, many reasons. I met Jessica about maybe 6 months ago at a fundraiser, and I saw this book on the table, and I said, "Tell me more." And when I picked up the book and I looked through it, I thought, this is really quite profound when you think about it, written, produced, photographed, illustrated by high school students about some very critical issues in a way that's very organized, very personal, but also very factual. Very extremely impressed. So over the months, we talked about ways in which we could help market this and get this out to the world. I am a television producer. I'm a marketing director, communications director, and I'm a diversity trainer, and I've been doing diversity work around the country for about 24 years. I have spoken at over 1,300 locations, and I have to say this is probably one of the most interesting and totally honored to be here. I would like each student to introduce his or herself.
Good morning. Is this
working? Should be on.
Okay. Sorry. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anasay Omiyani. I am a double English and political science major, Arabic minor from Lowell, Massachusetts. I helped create this book last year when I was a senior in high school, but this year I am a freshman at Howard University in Washington, D.C.
My name is Sam, and I'm a freshman at Fitchburg State University. I'm majoring in history and secondary education, and minoring in social science. I'm really interested in LGBT activism work.
Hi, my name is Natalie Silva. I study at Baycraft University Criminal Justice.
I can't hear you.
I study criminal justice and forensic psychology at Baycraft University and American Rural High School. I'm here.
The mic's not working? Oh, okay.
We're trying to fix the handheld right now. We can all just project until then. Just real loud speaking.
Are we sure it's on?
Yeah, it's just a problem with the wireless mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's fine. So we're going to be conducting the next 50 minutes or so in three parts. The first part will be where we will ask the students to speak on certain particular things within the book and why. The second part is more specific. The three sections will be schools, policy, and social concerns. And the very last part will be questions and answers. So if you have any questions and answers, you could write them down. You could you know, try to remember them. So we'll hold all of those until the end, if possible. So I'm just going to start off with probably the most wide scope, sort of big picture question. And this will be to Onose, who's sitting right to my left. Onose, can you tell us about the seminar on American diversity?
So seminar, can everybody hear me? Seminar on American diversity was really an idea that was conceived by Ms. Jessica Lander, who is writer, educator, and among those things, and additionally an unstoppable force. She is very dynamic. And so she essentially had this idea to create a course that would explore diversity, not only as an individual concept, but specifically in the context of the United States, and what that means for us as people who are living here in this space and time. And so over the summer, she chatted to me and said, I want to say, can you help me a little bit with this course? And so I did very little in terms of aiding her, in terms of creating the curriculum. And then as the year went on, we co-taught the course. And so there were 24 students, and we all really worked together to create this book. Ms. Lander knew that she wanted the students to dive a little deeper into the the understanding of diversity, and so, in short, the book was written, and it was the fruits of every student's labor, going through numerous drafts of essays, and these landers staying up late, editing them on a Google Doc form, and all of that really good stuff, and we now have this product, which is in schools in all 50 states, in several colleges and universities. Additionally, we've gone international. It's in Canada and Ireland, and essentially we're really hoping that this can be used as a tool to teach the next generation in terms of not only what is diversity, but what is it to us in this space and time, and really starting that dialogue and having the vocabulary we need to navigate this and have conversations with each other. So.
That was really eloquent. I'm not sure why I'm here now. Jessica, so the next question is, how did you come up with the idea of the book? But that's sort of answered already. I'm going to add a word to that. How did you come up with the idea with the book now? Like, what is it about now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, as Anise was describing, Anise and I created the curriculum. We put together the readings, and we really wanted to make it a course that was about students teaching students. And so every Friday, a number of the students, two or three students, actually create a lesson and teach the whole class, and I am a student in that class. And at the end of the year, they were going to teach a freshman class and go into the Freshman Academy at Lowell. But as October rolled into November, and we were watching and discussing the political climate and the animosity we were seeing towards different people, we wanted to take our teaching outside of Lowell. And in addition to that, as we were diving deeply into different sections of American diversity, so we looked at race intensely for 2 weeks, and then maybe gender for 2 weeks, and the history of sexuality for 2 weeks, we started coming up with a list of terms and laws and Supreme Court cases that were essential for them to know. And so we would have up on the board the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and you go, you got to walk out of this course knowing it and being able to explain what it is. And this list kept getting longer and longer. And combined with our mission to teach others and our hope to teach others, we realized that it wasn't enough that the students in this class came out knowing those concept laws and Supreme Court cases, but that really we wanted to create a way, as Anise was saying, for others to learn about that. And so we created the idea of the book, and I'll let the students describe what it was like, but that each student would take on one law, one Supreme Court case, or one concept, and explain it in a way that was accessible for students outside of Lowell and hopefully across the country. So that was the idea of the book. It was the combined efforts of two semesters of classes. Indeed, Anise's class, we thought about this in November, and so the students, half of the students were in that first class. They did not do this essay for credit. It was not part of their course. They did it because they wanted to and felt that this was important work. And then the second semester of class, the whole class participated in the book.
Sure. And so, you know, from an organizational standpoint, from a policy standpoint, taking a look at how diversity works within the context of our society and why it's important to the students, So that's the sort of the organizational part. Stephanie and Sam, can you please talk to us a little bit about the process of writing and creating the book? The process of writing, the process of creating and organizing something like this, as we're learning, is something good to learn as you're processing your way through high school and into college. Photography and graphics, I'm a photographer, so when I saw these photographs, my first thought was the topic alone is very difficult. How do you take a difficult idea like racism or homophobia and policy, and how do you put it into the context of an image that's two-dimensional and black and white, and how do you tell an emotional story in a picture and connect it to something that's really difficult? So the cover is this beautiful picture of these two different hands holding. They just happen to be different skin tones. So we respond to that. My question to Carla and Moni is the photo, like what went into the process of figuring out how to translate what the book is about into pictures?
So at first we met in the classroom, and I remember Ms. Lander texting us, "Oh, we have a meeting. You all have to come in because." It was first semester and second semester in classes, so it was really hard to get us all together. And we had this awesome guest coming up to the class. It was Randy Goodman. She's a local photojournalist. She has been taking awesome pictures in Iran, talking about the history of women in different cultures. And she recently took pictures of the Women's March that they were pretty awesome, and it was really cool to have her in class explaining to us how to take a picture, how to project your essay or your topic into an awesome picture, and it was really cool to have her in class.
And when she came in the class at first, she was asking her, "Do you guys know how to take pictures?" It was like, "Of course, we have phone, we can take pictures." And she was like, "I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you know how to take a good picture?" And I was like, "What is that?" And then she said, "Okay, here, before you take a good picture, you have to know what you want to put in that image, what you want to to explain in the image. You want the picture to be another part of another essay in your book to explain another story of what you're trying to say. And specifically for me, I was so confused about what she was saying and other stuff. I just keep taking picture and keep sending her picture, looking at it, suggesting me, take this one, take that one. And yeah, that's how we came up.
A personal experience. For me, my essay in the book is Violence Against Women Act of 1994. And this is a law that protects women who have been victims of abuse in any form. So at first I was like, how am I gonna project this? Because I don't wanna project women how we project them in TV right now. Oh, a woman currently in a corner and this tall guy, powerful, standing in front of her being like, yeah, I have the power, you don't. And I didn't wanna show that. I wanna show women how we are as powerful, as capable of anything we wanna do. So I remember being in class and having this idea, and I called my friend and I was like, hey, can you help me out with this picture? Because I don't know what to do. And we came into a classroom, we turned on the computer, we turned up the projector, and we searched in Google fonts for cool pictures. And I stood up on a chair, and she took this awesome shadow of me. I have like my right hand in my hip and my left hand stand tall, kind of like Wonder Woman type of thing. And I think that this shows how women are, how we are, as powerful and as capable of whatever we can do.
So as for my photos, it was like really, really hard to take because my concept was unconscious bias. And unconscious bias means like you make an assumption of someone without realizing it. And it's not like a physical thing that you could see or feel. Then it's really, really hard for me to find a picture that describes it. So then I try a lot of pictures and all fail. And so then I came up with this picture. It's right here. We're a person standing, and there's a shadow behind him. And this is like representing unconscious bias, because when you're standing, you don't really notice a shadow, and it just like unconscious bias, you don't really know that you have it, unless like someone tell you, oh, look, it's your shadow and stuff. Yeah, that's why I come with this.
Let's see. I think there are 28. 24.
Four students and okay. 30 essays.
Got it, okay. And so what I'd like each of you to just briefly as you can, talk about why you chose a particular subject and how you just started the process of researching it.
My topic was Brown versus the Board of Education, which is a landmark Supreme Court case that separates schools across the United States in 1954. And as many of you know, before 1954, school was separated between black and white students, and they couldn't go to school together. So when I walked in and Ms. Linda was talking about it, I was like, wow, which one is this? And then she said, this one. You might have ideas of it. I was like, okay. I'll choose it, and I chose it, I started doing my research. And for me, I am from Liberia. I moved here 4 years ago, and in Liberia, I go to school with mostly black kids, and I never experienced any race or anything, or even learn about any of those stuff. But when I came here, my entire and every bias I have, or every, I heard some about racism, but I didn't really know if it was true. But when I started learning about the case, doing my research, and watching the news sometime, it really opened my mind to Brown versus the Board of Education. And I think it's really important because for me, I have the opportunity today to go to school with white kids and I don't get bullied at any time. And specifically, Lower High School is a really good school that you feel free to go to. When you're in Lower High School, you feel at home. And yeah, that's how I really feel about Brown v. Board of Education.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so like I just said, my concept was unconscious bias. Why I chose that is because I have really trouble of realizing my bias. I came from a country where there's only one race, and when I came here, it's like, it was so surprising. There's so many races, so many diversity. And I realized that I have bias. And so when I take the seminar class, I learn what unconscious bias is, and then they're like, wait, I have that bias. And so then it's really interesting to me. So I tell Ms. Lander I want to write about it, and I want other people to aware that they have it too. Everyone have it. But sometimes the bias is not always great. It have to be bad, sometimes great.
So like I said, my essay was about Violence Against Women Act of 1994. And like I said, it's a law that protects women from any form of abuse. And I chose this topic because I'm pro-women's right, and I think that this is a really good topic because not only women experience violence, but men too. And I think that we should all learn about it. And actually, what is going on right now with the hashtag Me Too, that more women are opening up, they're more open about talking about these issues and talking about what have happened to them. And also men are using it too. So I think this topic is really good. And actually, for me, it was really hard when I chose this topic because I wasn't particularly taking the class at the time because I was a freshman in college already. But I was working with Ms. Lander in her other four history classes. I'm actually a teacher's aide with her in her classes right now too. And when she was talking about the book, I got interested. I was like, wow, I will be glad to be part of it. And I remember her telling me, I know which topic you're gonna choose, but I'm gonna let you look at them. And then I was like, yeah, Violence Against Women Act, because everybody should know about this.
So my topics, actually I was one of the lucky students to write two essays. One of them was about privilege, which was my favorite, which I got to define and explain better how sometimes you get privileged and you don't even know, and you don't respect other people because you don't know if they have privilege or not. And then my second topic was Korematsu versus U.S., which is a Supreme Court case from 1944, was during the World War II. They sent Japanese Americans to internment camps, and just because they fought, they were spies. So I felt like that was something that everyone should know about it, because it's something hide it in their history that we should know.
I was also one of the lucky ones who got to write two essays. And the first one was Obergefell v. Hodges, which is a Supreme Court case. But it gave the right to LGBT Americans across the country the right to marry. And so I chose this one really easily, almost like Carla. Ms. Lander didn't even need to give me the list. Because I know how impactful it is to so many Americans, including myself. And so my second one is the Matthew Shepard's and James Beard Hate Crime Prevention Act, which is a law that enforced a stricter definition on what makes a crime a hate crime. And you know, I chose this one, well, Ms. Lander recommended it to me, but it's really relevant today because hate crimes are not something of the past. They're happening every day. And in fact, since the beginning of 2017, 34 LGBT members have been murdered because of their perceived sexuality. So this isn't something like in the distance, something really relevant. So I felt that it was really important to write about something that impacts the lives of so many people.
So my two terms were structural racism and diversity. And so structural racism are the institutions, policies, and practices that are in place that prevent people of color from having the same opportunities that white people do, and therefore creating disparities of race and restricting access. Diversity in the context of the United States is the array and host of individuals who have a myriad of differences between them, not only in terms of race, ethnicity, and sexuality, how we might tend to think about it, but also in terms of thought and many and ideals and things like that. And so for me, as Jackson was talking about, Lowell High School is a really dynamic place. You have kids there who are from 62, the number might have even gone up since I've graduated, different countries, speaking 51 or more languages. And when you have a place that is so infused with really the American ideal and the American dream, you learn about why these things are so important. Because even though you have people who are similar to you, maybe in race, maybe in economic status, there are still slight differences that create different experiences. And so these were really meaty terms to sort of take on and define, but especially in the context of Lowell High School and my experience there, I thought that they were very important, and I felt connected to them in that way.
Well, these are you know, as we're aware, these are very exactly. That's how we feel. You know, think about all this stuff. So putting it together as a challenge, I'd like to know what are the challenges that you can remember that were most profound for you. You don't all have to answer, but maybe one or two, something really significant, something that we can all relate to.
I love to talk, so I'll go. So I can all attest to. So I think, personally, all of the terms and policies, all of the big concepts, laws, policies that we had to define were really big ideas. And so when you have this when Ms. Lander had this idea of the book being used to teach other people about them, and we said these are things you have to know if you're going to be a productive and engaged citizen that's positive and working towards the American ideal, you want to ensure that you're not writing the wrong thing or teaching people the wrong thing. And so you have to be very careful with language and how we're phrasing it so that you're being very specific and accurate, but also you want to ensure that this is something that is accessible, not only to students who are in high school or students that are in university and college, but also kids who are in sixth grade, fifth grade, because this is something that everyone should really begin to have a grasp of when they're younger. And so I know that for me was very difficult, and I don't want to speak to everybody's experiences, but I would imagine for the others as well, just making sure we are accurate and encompassing everything that is essential.
I'm going to talk again too. As Stephanie already mentioned a little, the editing process was, for me at least, one of the most challenging parts of the book, because you would be up late at night, and you would write like what you thought was like the best possible version you could ever do. It was just so amazing, and you share it with Miss Lander, and you can't wait for school tomorrow because you're gonna walk in that room and she's gonna say, "Yep, that's right, you're done," and so you will walk into her class, but she'll say, "So did you check the edits I made?" And and you're like, "What?" and then you go on, and like the whole thing is like highlighted with like edits, and you're like, okay, and so you repeat it, and then it happens again and again, and it seems like an endless cycle, and then you're finally done. But so for me, that was the most challenging part, just because of how much work that it really takes to edit your essays over and again, over and over again. And Carla mentioned it was like in the middle of at least my senior year, which is wild as it is itself, never mind adding writing a book to it, but definitely the editing was the most challenging.
For me, and I feel like for others, it was making sure we were using the right language, because myself, I'm a first generation immigrant, so making sure I'm using like the right sentence, making sure I'm using the right words, make sure someone's gonna understand what I'm saying. I feel like that was the hardest thing, to make sure like, oh hey, like do you get it? I'm like, are you sure you're gonna get it? And then I would like write something and make like be like, "Miss Lander, do you get it? Like, do you like?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's okay." I'm like, "Are you sure? Because I'm like, not sure about this. And she's like, oh, okay, it's all right, so change it. And I'll like change it all over again and make sure it was all right.
So challenge, what about exciting? Like, what was in the process got you up in the morning or kept you up late, besides maybe chocolate and coffee?
I will say that Dunkin's was a key part.
Dunkin's, okay, all right, this is good.
But I will say that as being immigrants, most of us, being immigrants for us meant a lot in this book. And it's about letting our voice be heard and letting others know that we have a say and that we have our own opinions and that we want you to learn about it and learn that we are capable too, that we are getting out our word out and showing you that, yeah, we can. I think that was one really cool time.
Okay, to add on to Kala, that was the most exciting part that I have. Is that I'm the youngest one in the class. And it's really, I have really bad pressures from these people because, you know, they're older than me. Okay. And it's really surprising, I don't know, like for me to write a book at such a youngest age. That was the time when I was a sophomore, I was like 15. And yeah.
Kind of the fact that Moni already mentioned is that we actually have a book, I think is the most exciting thing. Because for me, like thinking about just, so what started off as like another social science class on my schedule, which my senior year was all social science classes and like the graduation requirements, but the rest, all my electives were social science. But so it turned out like to be way more than that. It went from just like an idea that Miss Lander had to an actual book. And so for me, like, that's like crazy to me to think that I have a book right now, you know, like this early in my life. But yeah, so that was definitely the most exciting part is that we have a book.
Can you tell us, you're all future leaders. I mean, that's pretty clear. It's pretty clear, not just from because you speak eloquently, you're intelligent, you're creative, you're thoughtful, you want to be engaged, you want to make a difference. That's a really good message. The question is, with this book, what do you hope that you can do, not necessarily individually, but what you can do collectively, as the next generation of future leaders? How does this book help us?
So I guess a good way to answer that question is that it's gonna be a way to teach others. Some people, we live our days, we make sure our lives are okay, but we look outside and there's someone suffering. You're like, oh, like what's going on? Like why do you think like that? But like they just don't know what's out there. What's U.S. versus border education? What's Korematsu versus U.S.? Like what's the laws behind all this? Like, where do we start? So, like, I think that having this book is a way to teach and, like, understand and gain knowledge to others in an easy way. And they're like, oh, I get it. Like, this is, oh, that makes sense now. And, like, having the picture next to it, it's like, oh, wow. I'll remember this because of the picture, not because, like, the text, but because of the picture. So, like, I feel like that's a way we did.
Do you think that, so is this giving you a voice that you believe you may not have otherwise had?
I think just to reference what Carla was speaking on earlier, I think we all come from very different experiences. And so even in the ways that we're similar, we're also vastly different. And so I certainly think that this allowed us not only to have a voice, but also it created a space for all of these voices to exist in the same space and speak on something that was equally important. And so no one There was no more weight placed on a certain individual because of who, because of their status, because of who they are, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's essay was of equal importance and value, and I think that was something that was very important, was creating a space for the diversity to even exist, and then we're speaking on it. So that was a really exciting thing, I think.
Let me just check the time, so make sure that we're, what time is it now? Oh, it's about one? Okay, great, perfect. Let's see. I'm going to switch to part two. We're going to get a little bit deeper now. This is the why section. And first we're going to talk about schools. A lot's been happening in schools around the country, particularly in the last year. There have been some significant changes. The Teaching Tolerance and Southern Poverty Law Center has reported that violence against immigrants and people of color and women has increased by 4 in the last year. And so schools are a place also where students are learning to work within the context of diversity, especially in a place like Lowell. Writing this book, coming from your community, is really beautiful and empowering to you, especially. How do you think that this book can make a big difference in schools that don't have the diversity that Lowell has?
So I think going back to sort of our intentions with the book, it gives us the vocabulary that we need to have these important conversations. So even when the room is not diverse, you still have the language that you need to speak on something without a certain amount of bias or a certain amount of emotions. Having the language that we need to sort of begin the discourse allows us to have an honest discussion about the biases that we may have without sort of saying, you, or I believe, and I believe this about X, and they do this, and they do that. It allows us to have the discussion that we need to have without othering the other person, and really coming from a human to human perspective, I guess, so.
Kind of going off what Anase said about discussion, like, without a discussion, these problems, as much as we want them to dissolve or solve themselves, they won't. And so when we're talking about communities who aren't exposed to the privileges like a city in Lowell has, where we have some different cultures and languages, without having a sense of, like, kind of like Anase said, a form of, like, a way to have a discussion, these problems will never be fixed. And so I feel like I can speak for most of us when I say that this book, we believe, is a very good tool for that, like, first step in having a discussion.
Anybody else want to speak to the school part? For those of you who are still in Lowell High School, maybe there might be a good perspective.
Okay, so from my perspective, I think it's important to teach people about this concept, case, and law. Mostly because that diversity is innovation. So when you have a diversity of group or team or whatever, you have innovation, you think differently, you can improve things. Yeah. So that's why I want everyone to learn about the concepts.
Do you think that diversity, and I love the way you put it, you said other to when you other people and then human. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then you, right? So, between both of you, you've got some really good perspective. Do you think that diversity as innovation, and diversity as a human thing, is that an integral part of what curriculum should be in the United States? Should diversity be part of every classroom, in whatever context it is?
I do, because we learn a lot. Like, we're all diverse, like, I guess I can say that, right? Because we all, like, come from different backgrounds. We all have, like, some, like, we come from, like, totally different places. And having us in a class all together, we learn a lot about, hey, like, this is is this who you are? Like, what? And then having other people learn about that too, like having other people learn about who they are and like what other people in the nation is, like in Lowell, like who's gonna imagine something about Lowell? Like Lowell Mass, it's cool diversity, but like what else? And like having our voice out there, making sure like Lowell is one more time out knowing for the students. So yeah.
Sure.
I think additionally, even when you're in an environment that appears to be homogeneous, there is diversity that exists, even if it's just the diversity of thought and diversity of opinion. And so the minute that you leave your home, and you even in your home, but the minute that you leave your home and begin to interact with the world, you're interacting with diversity. And so I think that it's critical that diversity begin to be something that is incorporated into curriculum, because even when we're not talking about it and it is omitted from the discussion that you're having in course, there are nonverbals that are being communicated and that students are picking up on and behaviors they're learning. Unconscious bias is definitely always in effect. So I think that even if we're not using big terms and we're not talking about pivotal Supreme Court cases, talking about concepts and making them palatable to young students is something that is very essential to ensuring that the next generation continues to be genuine and kind and focused on having a human, a person-to-person interaction that is coming from a place of good intention and allowing us to have a discourse that is productive and not so accusatory. So.
Beautifully put. Policy and culture often are like kind of oil and water. Culture is, you know, very fluid, and it changes over time, and we define ourselves in different ways depending on the context. Policy is something that's supposed to be set in place. So much of the book, the first part of the book, is about policy. It's about government, it's about laws, and changing those laws because of culture. So the deeper we go into this discussion, it's going to require us to look a little bit more inward, right? So the question is, who would like to speak about the culture that you're experiencing and the policies that you talked about, and what policies can you see change in favor of diversity in schools around the country? Shall I reframe the question?
Okay.
Oh, you gonna go for it?
I didn't know if Carla was.
Go for it. Superwoman.
So, let me see. I'm gonna give an example. For my laws about violence against women. I come from Dominican Republic. I came to the US 3 years ago. And this is a really, really big issue in my country. And if I had this tool in my country written in Spanish, or I can translate it, that's fine. But having this tool would teach a lot of kids, a lot of little boys, that women shouldn't experience violence, that men shouldn't experience these horrible things that are happening right now. And I can also jump into race. In my country, I didn't know that it was black or white or brown or American. I didn't know about that. And when I came to the US, this topic came so strong that you're always talking about it, even though if you don't notice it that much. But around the schools, you always hear, oh, you're white, oh, you're black, and people using the N-word. Why are you using that word for it? Do you know what that means? So I think that this tool is really, like, having this tool around is really gonna teach kids, families, guys in school that there are more important things to know about.
I think this really does say quite a bit about the power of books. You know, we're in a library. This is a beautiful place to be, the amount of knowledge that is in these books is insurmountable, but the intention behind them may not be as powerful if you think about what we're reading and why this book is very powerful. Before we get to questions, I just want to again really thank all of you and Jessica, you too, that, you know, giving young people a voice and produce something that has been propagated literally throughout the world in a course of a year, that's pretty good. And in my mind, these are the people that I will be looking to in the future when I need help. Seriously, I really do. Let's go to questions. Wow. So I'm going to repeat the question if you hadn't heard it. How did your family influence you on this opinion?
Yeah. Okay, I'll go. So for me, I'm from Brazil. So in Brazil, it's really hard to see young advocates. Like, we don't see that. And moving here was a fully big transition at whole. But my family at home, my dad and my mom, they always be like, oh, like, you can do it. I'm like, no, I cannot. Like, I'm done. They're like, no, Stephanie, like, get over yourself. Go, like, go forward. Keep going. Like, it was, they would support, even though they don't know as much about it, but they always support me. Like, they would try to, like, oh, keep going. Like, I know you can do better. Like, just keep going. Like, it's hard, but they always were there, like, even though.
So, growing up, like, my family has always been very interesting, but, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I grew up going to church, and my family, I define my family more of the people who have always been in my life. And so, yeah, that is my family, and we don't always have the same beliefs and ideas on things. And so when this book first started, I don't think my parents really realized when I said that I was writing a book that I was actually writing a book. But so when it did come out, I remember bringing it to a family party and like bragging about it, because you know how like families can be when you want to be the best of the family. But I remember just hearing the conversations that were started from that and the difference of opinions and what they were talking about it, you know. And so my family support is really interesting with that. It's more of a motivation more than a support, you know. But if that answers your question.
Yeah, your hand was up before.
I've read recently about the discussions moving Lowell High School out of the middle of the city. I grew up in Havel, a sister city basically, in the days when that happened, and it was a total disaster for the I'm just curious what the students feel about that. I've seen debates on both sides.
So I think that's a really great question. We can definitely talk more about it afterwards. but I will say that, you know, Lowell is definitely a very dynamic place, and I think the high school and students having access to it has definitely, and the myriad of resources downtown has definitely been part of creating that environment, yeah.
Adding to your question, I would say that having the high school there, it has like such a good memories, and when you see people and the name of people in the world, in the wall, and then you hear, oh, the 10-year reunion. This person came from the class of 95, and he's a famous boxer, and you're like, what? Did you came out? So it's really cool to have in that story there. And I think that if we, hopefully it doesn't happen, move the high school out of there, I think it will be like starting new memories.
I'm going to get to some more questions. Yeah, over there in the purple.
I have a question about, you know, I feel like it's all great speakers. I'm a bit of competition on your group, but
Actually, that's a very interesting question. getting into all of this being, I think, 2014 or 15 for Miss Lander. And I don't really think my friends support me in this because most of those topics we're talking about, they are very hard topic to discuss among people, specifically when we go into race and lesbian or gay things. My friends, they all hated that. So I don't discuss anything with my friends but my family, because my family are more supportive and telling me just go for it. And discussing in class also with other people and all those guys, we have a sorority circle where we sit down and we talk about the discussion. You ask your friend what is your opinion about this topic, and then you give your opinion. And you know, if you don't want to talk about it, you just don't talk about it. Yeah.
And I'll jump in too with that. We have 24 authors in total, and only unfortunately 6 up here today. But there are indeed a lot more men who are now in college and could not make it back. So Jackson is our representative. Thank you.
Let's see, over there.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think there is a piece on here. There's a piece in this. There's an essay in this book on homophobia, which was really important to me, because I think that when we think about diversity, especially given the context of our current political climate, even our local political climate. It's something that has been really pertinent, especially for me, my senior and junior year. I certainly had friends who were different from me in that aspect in terms of their sexuality. And so, yes, Samantha Ronson. And so I think there were a lot of essays, that just speaks to the fact that there were a lot of essays in here that taught me things that you don't necessarily know or understand about other people's experiences. And so having essays that you're learning from your peers is very important. And so that was one that stood out to me, given the context of my own personal experiences at that time. But additionally, I attend Howard University in Washington, D.C., so we're constantly having these conversations about bias. It is incorporated into almost every single class, even mathematics. So it's something that I feel, even though I'm in a place where we're supposed to be talking about these things, we don't always necessarily have the vocabulary that we need to have a conversation in a way that isn't so emotionally charged. And so I've definitely been able to step in a few times between my peers and say, okay, guys, so let's sit down and really talk about this and what this means. And I think the book certainly also provides a historical context, which is important so that we can have an educated discussion about the topics. And it's, again, not just emotions being spewed.
One more question. Let's see. Yes?
I was wondering if you guys can speak about hope, because as young people, you have a different perspective from some of us older people. The world is changing so fast. There's bad news every day. You have to have had a certain amount of hope to write this, to put that effort in. But if you can speak about how you see the future of this country, you know, where you see.
So the question was, can you speak about hope and healing and change in this country?
So we're all from Lehigh, graduates, or she's in high school still. Every time we hear about something that happens in other countries against a country or someone like that impacts us, because such being a big school and having so many countries and like the ethnicities, we get impacted by that a lot. And having I guess since freshman year, we have that hope of like, no, like it's gonna be better. Like we hope to be better, but we don't know how. And I feel like this book and like other things that we may do in the future, I don't know what's gonna be your future like, but hopefully like we make a change like from this now. So like from now on, to make sure that we're gonna be a change, we're gonna have that hope. Like, we're not gonna have that hope anymore. We're gonna have a step up to do a change, to make sure we take that like, oh wait a second, this is wrong. Okay, so how should I fix? So like this is why we shouldn't have hope. I guess we should have a mindset to fix it, because we are all accomplished a lot of things, such as the book and like graduating. I guess that's a big deal. And like going to college, we are mostly all in college here, and having the opportunity to like in college, we're learning every day that we can be better, we can make a change in the world. So this is, I guess, our time to do it.